You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. We have a very good Saturday in store as well. We've got a good day at Ripon, where the William Hill Great St Wilfrid is the feature. We also have good racing at Newbury, a few group races on their card. Newmarket, Perth and Doncaster in the afternoon as well. And also evening racing from Chepstow, Market Raisin and Tremor. So a busy Saturday. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr Tom Morley. How are you, Tom?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark.
Good.
Very good, thank you.
Good man. Glad to hear it. We'll get stuck into all of that in a moment or two. We're going to get Tom's thoughts in the William Hill Great St Wilfrid, in the Hungerford.
I hope it's the Hungerford, yeah. or you've led me up the garden path.
mixing up the group races. And also the couple of races that he has a strong opinion in as well. So we'll get plenty to go at on the Saturday afternoon there. But before we do, a little bit of sad news, really, to start the podcast, or potential sad news, and that's that Toaster Racecourse is in a fair bit of, well, crisis is the headline on the Racing Post. They're hoping for a rescue package because they've gone into administration, and a lot of people in the racing world, including our very own Sir Anthony McCoy, are obviously quite upset about it.
Perhaps they'll all donate and come together.
Maybe so.
Or maybe it'll be left to others, but I'm sure there'll be a few vultures circling with interest around Toaster Racecourse at the moment. But no, it is sad. I mean, Toasters gets quite a lot of good press about being a forward-thinking track, the free entry and stuff like that. But ultimately, clearly, things haven't worked out, whether it's a very recent thing or whether it's just been a gradual lack of funds that, you know, they've run out. I don't know the ins and outs behind the scenes of how it all works, but clearly it's disappointing. I would think there'll be a few people who might be interested in taking it over, the usual names, Arena Racing, the Jockey Club, have already been mentioned. And I guess it'll be interesting as well to see whether the Greyhound part of it would be sort of involved in any rescue package.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you look at it from that respect, you're not only getting a horse race venue, you're getting a Greyhound venue as well. So in terms of actually a proposition to buy, it might not be the worst idea. But, you know, they spent a lot of money on the Greyhound track. They then tried to encourage racegoers to go by making the meetings free, although they did reduce the number of race meetings. The ideas were grand and could, you know, if they'd have worked, they would have been seen as possibly revolutionary. But unfortunately for them, it just hasn't worked, has it?
It hasn't. And I've got to say, it confuses me slightly that if they've gone into administration or want to take themselves into administration, there must have been a certain amount of time where things were on a slippery slope down, rather than we've reached the bottom, haven't we, at the moment?
Yeah.
So perhaps something should have been changed or done differently on that slope, as opposed to waiting until it's just in big trouble.
Mm. Yeah, hopefully there'll be some kind of resolution there for Toaster, for both horse racing and greyhound racing, because that is, of course, the horse track now for the Greyhound Derby.
But, yeah, and it gets plenty of coverage as well, doesn't it, the greyhound side of things. So, you know, if anyone was interested in both things, you'd think that they'd get a fair amount of airtime.
Just asking, being devil's advocate a little bit, have they taken too much of a leap of faith on the greyhound racing to the neglect of horse racing, and that's maybe cost them?
Possibly. I mean, without seeing the exact finances and what has been eating the cash, it's hard to know. But, you know, clearly that is a fairly unique thing, isn't it? And they've pushed the greyhounds. I mean, we used to get to see them on television, and whether the shortage of fixtures or lack of, you know, a slight reduction of racing fixtures to make way for the greyhounds has had anything to do, I don't know. But as I say, you'd have thought, without seeing the exact figures and how bad it is, that it would be an interesting place for someone to come in and take over.
Do you fancy it, Tom? Do you fancy buying Toaster?
I suspect that would be even more costly than financing the local football club.
I'd say it might be, yes.
And it's jumps racing.
Yeah, not, well, we all know that, don't we?
Stick an all-weather flat track there. Go around the Greyhound track.
Yeah, yeah. It might be a bit tight, but we'll find a way. Yeah, hopefully Toaster can resolve that at some point. So let's get back to the racing action, though, because obviously we just needed to mention that, given it's quite significant news on the front page of the Racing Post. But let's talk about some race horses rather than horse racing venues. And we're going to start with a couple of the feature races during the afternoon, starting with the 3:15 at Ripon, which is a big race for us here at William Hill, because it's the William Hill Great St Wilfrid. We have a big field taking part here as well. We've got a field of 20 assembled, wide open handicap, as you would expect, and 7-1 the field as well. So a fair bit of value in there if you can find the winner, or even those that get placed. Growl, 7-1. 9-1 for Piper's Note. Golden Apollo is 10s. It's 11-1 for Springloaded and Kimberella. Also 11s for Flying Pursuit and Tarentum Star. And 12-1 are bigger prices for the rest. Which ones have caught your eye, and what is a wide open renewal?
Definitely. Very wide open. And William Hill are sponsoring a few of the races, aren't they, there tomorrow? But this obviously the flagship event.
Good news about this race as well, by the way. Fifth of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 if you're having an each way bet. So an extra
which may well be helpful given how competitive it is. I mean, you could give no end of horses a chance. Sadly, I didn't get a horse in the race. Heartstopper got eliminated. And I guess the consolation race earlier in the day with the draw might well tell us a bit, little bit more. It does seem there's a bit of pace on potentially on either side. Gunmetal is drawn pretty high. That one tends to like to go forward. And to be honest, that would be one of the horses that would interest me. I think sometimes this course does suit pacey horses. And Gunmetal, drawn 19, will be able to go forward, you'd have thought. And has been in good heart for this yard. Moved to David Barron this year, a couple of wins straight off. Yeah, was held in the Stewards' Cup last time, but before that was a decent effort in the Curragh. I think Gunmetal would be one that I would certainly be keeping my eye on. And I'd probably go I'd probably try and take one from either side, you know, to keep your options open. And I think from the low ones, I think Spring Loaded. I mean, the Wokingham seasonal debut, that was fine, a bit of a warm-up. Then this horse is a decent horse, hence why it's top weight, you know, officially rating of 107, but won an Ascot 5 furlong 20 runner race off 100. That's put him up. Didn't run badly in the Stewards' Cup, just got going a bit too late there. I think Spring Loaded from the low numbers is also would be my alternative choice. I'd probably pick one from each side, but I mean, you can give good mentions to so many of them. Kimberella's been just a great yardstick, got an apprentice on board to take some weight off. Flying Pursuit won a big handicap the other day, beating Golden Apollo. I think Golden Apollo would have a decent chance here. Growl is Growl, just doesn't win very often. Piper's Note, of course, loves it here, but I mean, this is a pretty competitive race for Piper's Note in my eyes. Shanghai Glory, third last year, won his side. So there's no end of horses. But if I had to pick the two out, I'd be going Gunmetal and Spring Loaded.
Yeah, it might make sense to have one on either side of the draw, because last year, Shanghai Glory raced stand side and won that particular group, but the near side was the place to be.
Yeah.
Whereas the year before, the winner came down the stand side, down the stand side. So it can change meeting to meeting, perhaps. And
I think also with where the pace is, what takes them long enough into the race. So, yeah, I think going one either side is not a bad call.
Couple against the field then for Tom there. And just a reminder, 5 places at a fifth of the odds if you're having an each-way bet in that William Hill Great St Wilfrid. So those were the thoughts of Tom. We also spoke to Sir Anthony McCoy about the race as well. Let's get his thoughts.
A typical wide-open renewal of the William Hill Great St Wilfrid. Growl was favourite for this race. Last year, he had top weight that day. He slipped down the weights, but he did run really well last time in the Stewards' Cup at Goodwood. The only problem is he hasn't won since 2016, and that can't be said for Piper's Note, who's in the form of his life. He's won his last two. He's finished second, fourth, and fifth in this race in the past, and I think he can win his first William Hill Great St Wilfrid.
We're going to turn our attention to Newbury now, because there's a good race that we want to look at there as well. The 3:35 on their card is the Hungerford Stakes, which is a Group 2 over 7 furlongs. The market at the time of recording this, headed by Gustav Klimt at 5-2. Sir Dancelot is 100-30. 7-2, Labrisa Breeze. Breton Rock is 7-1. 15-2 for Dream of Dreams. 8-1, Yafta. And 22-1 are bigger prices for the other two. I quite like the chances of Gustav Klimt here, given that he's been racing in Group 1 company and racing with a lot of credit as well. Last time he raced in a Group 2 was at Newmarket back end of last year, and he met all kinds of trouble and still won. I think at this level, he will be the one to beat here for me.
I'm in agreement with you. I mean, he's getting weight as well. You know, sick from the Guineas, as you know, placed in 3 Group 1s after that. Unbeaten over this trip. I think there's a lot to like about Gustav Klimt. As you say, down in class a little bit. And, you know, with Sir Dancelot, probably one of the main rivals. Yeah, loves the trip. Goodwood last time got up despite really no luck in running. But, you know, that horse has got a penalty on top of having to give Gustav Klimt weight anyway. So I think that's a big ask. Labrisa Breeze, I mean, there's definitely been rain around and it had got a bit softer, but I reckon it may potentially dry out a bit. I mean, Labrisa Breeze, look, top class, won the champion sprint, didn't it, last year. Okay at 7 furlongs, good fourth last time. You can't knock Labrisa Breeze, but I think Gustav Klimt, again, I think I'd prefer Gustav Klimt over Labrisa Breeze here. Breton Rock, just a little bit short of this quality, providing the rest are on a going day. Dream of Dreams, I'd say, is improving, but just a bit short of this level at the moment. Yafta's consistent, but again, I think more needed, and that applies to the other two as well. So, yeah, I think this is a great chance for Gustav Klimt to get back on track.
And if you're a weights and measures kind of person, as Tom alluded to there, Gustav Klimt's officially rated 117, should be giving weight to all of these. He's actually receiving weight from all of them, bar the bottom two.
Yeah.
So he looks weighted to go very, very close at the very least.
Yeah.
And then one of the big races at Newbury on Saturday afternoon, the 3:35, we can also hear the thoughts of Sir Anthony McCoy.
Gerald Mossy gave Sir Dancelot a brilliant ride when he got him up close home to win the Lennox Stakes at Goodwood last time. That was over 7 furlongs, as is this. I think this is definitely his best trip. He's won his last 3 over this distance, but I do think he might struggle to beat Aidan O'Brien's Gustav Klimt, who's on a bit of a losing run, but his last 5 runs have been in Group 1 company. He's dropping in trip here, and he's dropping in class, and I think he'll get back to winning ways.
That is two of the feature races throughout the afternoon, but Tom came in waving his piece of paper saying, I've got 2 winners at Doncaster in the first 2 races. Much stronger opinion, so these might be the winners on the afternoon for us. The 1:45 at Doncaster is the second race we're going to look at.
Yeah, I was going to say, should we start the 1:15?
Yeah, we'll go 1:15 first. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Division 1 of this particular handicap over 7 furlongs, a field of 11 set to go to post for this one, and could be quite an open heat, around about 7-2, 4-1 the field here. Tom, what's got your eye?
You see, I like this race so much, I did both divisions.
Yeah, can't get enough.
In the first division, my selection's going to be Nick Vedder. Only won once from 15 starts, that was some time ago, and on the all-weather at Newcastle, but has run a series of really good, consistent races on the turf over the summer. Newmarket in May, finished 2nd, just couldn't reel in the winner. Newbury in June, basically a repeat, just getting going too late again. Newbury in July, underperformed a little bit, pulled too hard in a small field, but then bounced back with a better effort at Ascot at the end of last month. The winner that day has run another good race. Second horse has repeated that placing since, so the form's franked a bit as well. Handicapper didn't move him. This is back in class 5 company, and I think Nick Vedder can finally transfer his consistent efforts into a victory. There's been not as much rain as perhaps anticipated at Doncaster so far, but I don't really see any ground concerns for Nick Vedder unless it absolutely was a deluge, and that doesn't seem likely, despite looking a little bit grey in Yorkshire as I speak. So I think with the slightly bigger field, he'll be able to lay up, hopefully not be too keen, and Nick Vedder can come out on top. And especially if we look at some of the others, I mean, Siege of Boston ran well recently at York, but it's never won on grass. Groupie's just been poor this season. Muattadale's been running over shorter. I think this new trip might stretch him. Saison's Doors, relatively lightly raced. It was a weak maiden at Catterick last time that this horse won. This is totally different. Berlioz won at Ayr in June, but again, another who runs over shorter and was well beaten at Haydock. Narrowsafe prefers the all-weather. Been well beaten since returning after a break. Rock Warbler, another one who prefers the all-weather. Amy Blair's shown nothing, has changed stables. Honey Badger's not been in great form this year. Best Effort was here on softer ground than he has faced more recently. I suppose that one could put a little bit better performance in. And Space War's now an old lad who ran a decent race last time, up £3 for that. And I think it's generally a bit on the downgrade. So Nick Vedder to transfer those placed efforts into a win.
Nick Vedder then in the 115 at Doncaster in the division, the second division or division two of that race is at 145 again, handicap 7 furlongs, decent sized field here, set to have 10 of them go to post. Who'd you like in the second division?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sunstorm here. I mean, Sunstorm spent most of his life in races where he's been a pretty big price in the market. Found 5 furlongs far too short in a couple of runs in July, but was well supported in the market last time at Yarmouth. It was only a selling handicap, but it was this trip. Yeah, it wasn't a great race, but Sunstorm did run a much better race, travelled really well, looked like he would reward his supporters, just pipped on the line by a horse who herself was in good form, albeit a limited level. They were well clear of the rest of the field. I know it was weak, but it showed he does have some potential. This trip looks his right trip, keeps the same jockey, gets some first-time cheek pieces as well, gets plenty of weight from his opposition. So I think there's much to like about Sunstorm here. And again, the opposition, I mean, Roaring Forties, that's been tumbling in the weights, but that's because he's been running really poorly. He would want lots of rain, and that might make him a little bit more attractive. Dasheen is unreliable and did pop up last month, which was probably him done. Pursuing Steed has had a poor season. Musharif has been a sprinter all year, so he needs to prove he can handle 7. Takum hasn't been seen for over a year. Muntani's now 1 from 14, but since that win, shown nothing, gets the blinkers. On to try and help. Abu Sharma won in May, but that was at his favourite track, Redcar. And over a bit further, he's also makes it a hat-trick of horses in this race, sporting first-time blinkers, which possibly tells you a little bit. Alba del Sol, cheap purchase back in February, been showing little until a better run last time at this track and first-time cheap pieces. She did seem to improve for those. Mm-hmm. And with the winner and third having run what will be yesterday, as in on the Friday, you perhaps can get an idea of how that form plays out. But I think she's up in trip here, and that raises a question mark. And Ghost is another who's been going over shorter. So she's consistent, but has to prove that 7 furlongs is what she needs. So I'm left with Sunstorm.
Nice thorough run down the race there, then the 145 Sunstorm, the selection for Tom. Thank you very much, Tom. Best of luck with those, and enjoy the action on Saturday. There you go, the thoughts of Tom Morley then on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live from 1:05 p.m. with John Gibby, James Millman and John Budd and the team on Racing Radio. We have Ripon, Newbury, Newmarket, Perth and Doncaster, and the evening action at Chepstow, Market Raisin and Tremore. So do join the guys for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.